Hey everyone, my name is Dr. Jules Cormier. I'm a doctor, teacher, and nutritionist, and I help people put more plants on their plates. Evidence-based nutrition gave me my life back, and I'm here to tell you all about it. Hey everyone, welcome back and thanks for tuning into my podcast. So today we're going to answer a question that I get asked a lot. What does a plant-based doctor actually eat in a day? Now, I find this question funny because I think the people assume that I'm eating super elaborate and complex meals made up of difficult to pronounce ingredients or mystical foods that have magical properties. So I'm happy to break down a full day of eating as a plant-based doctor. Now, between pre-med, medical school, medical residency, 15 years of medical practice, nutrition certification from Guelph University, and after 15 years of actually teaching at our local medical school, it's safe to say that I've accumulated a lot of knowledge and random facts. But over the last decade, I've focused most of my energy and my spare time on scouring the medical literature for hidden gems of information on nutrition science. And I've learned a lot about the basic biochemical functions, chemical structures of different types of nutrients. And even though I've accumulated a wealth of knowledge about nutrients on a microscopic level, I'm still happy to report that the question I get the most is, what do you eat? It's like, people think I'm trekking over mountaintops or I'm searching for this tropical superfruit and no one else knows nothing about. Now, I'm proud to report that my meals are pretty damn simple. They're quick, they're convenient, and they're super easy to prepare. I'm not eating anything glamorous and nothing worth gracing the cover of Foodie magazine. Just real food that grows in the ground or from a tree. I eat food that doesn't have eyes and doesn't have a mother or a father. I eat plants. 100% of my diet is made from plants. So I'll be breaking down my diet meal by meal into its simplest form. I'll go a meal at a time and describe in detail what I eat in a typical day. Now, most people rotate about 8 to 10 different meals. So if you can put a plant-based twist on meals that you already eat, it is much more easy to transition towards a plant-based diet. We're not trying to create elaborate recipes. We just veganized the meals that we already ate before going plant-based. Now, let's talk about my breakfast. Now, the evidence does show that breakfast seems to really be the most important meal of the day. A nutritious first meal when coming out of your fast will provide the much-needed energy to start your day off right. Now, chronobiology, which is a study of how our hormones have cyclical variations according to sleep and sun exposure, also show that calories ingested at breakfast will be used more efficiently for energy mobilization than storage. And this means that calories at breakfast are less fattening than the same amount of calories at night. So a calorie is not always a calorie. It depends on when you eat it. And that's why certain experts suggest front-loading your calories at the beginning of the day. Now, I'm not saying that you're going to become overweight or obese because you ate at night. The effect is likely to be clinically small. But small effects over time can add up. Now, I've already covered the science behind weight loss and energy expenditure in a prior episode, so I'll link that in the show notes. Don't hesitate to go have a listen. Our body wants us to eat breakfast. Early meals typically decrease salt and sugar cravings later in the day and can minimize temptation for unhealthy foods and processed junk. So before I even get out of bed in the morning, I drink at least 2 cups of water. I fill my water bottle before brushing my teeth and I leave it on my night table. I put my phone behind my water bottle so I have no choice but to move my water bottle to turn off my alarm. And that's my daily cue to chug some water. what we call habit stacking, which is a technique that I learned after reading a great book by James Clear called Atomic Habits. Then I head downstairs and I have breakfast, and on most weekdays, I'll have the same thing. Sprouted oats with soy milk mixed in with chia, hemp, and flax seeds. Now, typically, I would top that with blackberries, raspberries, and blueberries, and I sprinkle some granola on there. Now, during the start of my plant-based transition, I added maple syrup because I needed that sweetness. Then I ended up switching to date sugar, then to date syrup, and now that I've kind of weaned myself off of super sweet foods, I simply add medjool dates for that sweetness. Now, on the weekends, I sometimes enjoy vegan pancakes with fruit and scrambled tofu if I'm in a cooking mood. Or if we want to eat out, we head to local restaurants and have vegan options. Typically, I'll order oatmeal or a smoothie bowl. And if that week my workout was particularly brutal or I've overindulged in excess calories, I'll sometimes use intermittent fasting on Saturday or Sunday mornings as a way to recover and to maintain a mild calorie deficit. Now, I still make sure to hit all my nutrient targets during the rest of the day. Fasting is only healthy if you eat appropriate nutrients during your eating window. Now, I never miss a morning coffee, and I enjoy it with an almond-based creamer. The milk in my coffee was pretty much the last thing that I needed to remove to be 100% plant-based. Now, I had no problem cutting out dairy anywhere else, but it took me almost a year to make the switch from that 1 ounce of milk-based coffee creamer to finally switch to almond or soy milk. Now, I knew I wanted to do it, and I was determined to do it, but that's the one thing that kind of took a long time for me. Now, for lunch during the week, I'm typically at work, and I'll have a lunchbox packed and ready to go each day. So for lunch, I'll typically probably heat some leftovers from the day before or bring a thermos with some vegetable soup in it. I make sure to eat my veggies, and we always batch cook lots of soups and chickpea curries that I can eat at work. I always bring a few bananas with me, an apple, maybe a protein bar, some mixed nuts, some medjool dates, just to have something on the go if I'm more busy. Now, typically I would drink water at lunch, but I occasionally have a second coffee. So when I get home, I have supper. So for supper, we have a simple rule. We try to have as many colors as possible on our plates. Now, typically, we'd have a plant-based protein source like beans, lentils, chickpeas, edamame, or tofu. And there are many ways to dress them up with herbs, spices, and sauces. Then as a side, we typically have a variety of veggies like peppers and onions or cauliflower and broccoli. We very often have a full plate of salted cucumbers as a side for the whole family just to kind of dig in and enjoy. Now, some days we'll have sweet potato fries and brown rice or quinoa as our complex carbs. And then we'll add like chickpea pasta or cashew sauce. Now, for dessert, we almost always have fruit, either watermelon or cantaloupe or honeydew melon, bananas, apples, or berries. And most of the time, we simply mix them all together. But we do indulge in a few vegan versions of either chocolate cake, or we make a sweet potato brownie that we love. Sometimes we eat a bowl of granola. So it is possible to satisfy that sweet tooth. Maybe just add a little bit of maple syrup. I'd rather you eating a bowl of fruits with maple syrup on it than not eating fruit at all. Now, if I'm craving a snack during the day, I'll typically eat like mixed nuts. I'll usually focus on healthier ones like walnuts or cashews. Very often, I'd even mix in granola or dates inside of the snack to get that kind of sweet-salty combo. If I'm on the run, I'll most certainly have bananas or apples, maybe even a plant-based protein since they're super convenient and easy to pack. Now, if I'm craving a more elaborate meal, I will typically have a smoothie bowl with fruit and granola. And on the weekends, we almost always make popcorn. Now, I have a free recipe ebook where I actually have a recipe for my favorite popcorn seasoning, and it's a way to make popcorn healthy. Now, for many people, snacks are actually where they can rack up the empty calories. People are eating processed foods that lack nutrients. And as you already know, these foods tend to be calorie dense, but nutrient poor. They can leave you feeling undernourished and even craving more unhealthy food. So, and a lot of people actually interpret dehydration as a salt craving. So before running to the cupboards, consider drinking some water. And if in a few minutes you're still hungry, then maybe try to reach for some fruits and veggies instead of processed foods. Now, people ask me if I do cheat days or cheat meals. Now, I don't do cheat meals, but I do have wholesome and healthier versions of junk food that I eat. We eat cake, we eat muffins, and we eat ice cream. We simply use plant-based versions of them. Now, when people embark on restrictive weight loss diets, cheat meals or cheat days tend to be the norm. And studies do show that cheat meals can be counterproductive for those who are trying to lose weight, much in the same way that they would be for those trying to get healthier. They can destroy progress made during the week, and they often maintain our brain's urge to eat nutrient-poor and hyper-palatable processed foods. Now, we don't ask someone who just stopped smoking cigarettes to have some only on the weekends. That usually doesn't end well. Now, brain MRI studies show that the dopamine rush caused by nicotine is pretty much the same as the one that's caused by hyperpalatable and unhealthy processed foods. Even pictures of donuts and milkshakes have been found to light up the same regions in your brain on MRI scanning. So why would you want to intentionally create cravings that could put your forward progress at risk? Maybe this could be the reason that diets are temporary and have very high fail rates. Now, people that eat a healthy diet and live a healthy lifestyle tend to not crave unhealthy foods at all. If I want to binge, I can still do it on plant-based comfort foods, and the collateral damage will be much lower. Now, there's a ton of foods out there that are healthy and can still cure that craving. Achieving a healthy body weight and living a healthy lifestyle makes it okay to indulge and have unhealthy rewards here and there. But maybe don't consider designating a specific day to undo all the hard work that you've done. The published science shows that it's not a good idea. Now, one of the fun yet weird things that'll happen on a plant-based diet is that within a few weeks, your taste buds will completely change. Fruits and veggies start tasting like food again. And after years of being jolted with excessive doses of salt and sugar and fat, your taste buds, they get dumbed down. They need hyper-processed foods to be satisfied. Now, if you've ever taken a bite of fruit after drinking soda or a sugary beverage, the fruit will taste like nothing. Now imagine over 20 years on a highly processed diet. I'm scared for our children. Studies show that they're getting more than 60% of their calories through ultra-processed foods. No wonder real food doesn't taste like anything anymore. Rest assured, our taste buds do adapt quickly, and yes, it is possible to crave fruits and veggies again. Now, for a lot of people, the challenge is when eating out. Now, when we eat out, we always check the menu for vegan options. When traveling, we often even email the chef if we don't find anything on the menu. And when we're out eating with our friends that are not plant-based, we always try to find options that can accommodate both of us. When we want to binge, we binge on vegan ice cream, we binge on vegan cheeses, vegan chocolate. You get the point? Vegan food has come a long way since the 70s, and it's become as easy as ever to enjoy food without animal products. Now, I still enjoy a good barbecue. I just don't barbecue animals anymore. I still drink milk. I just not cow's milk. I still eat cheese. Just it's vegan cheese. Now, I do understand why people can get intimidated by going plant-based. It took me over 18 months to make a full and complete transition, but I've never looked back. I started by switching one ingredient or one food or one meal every month and stuck with it. In over 18 months, I had made 18 small, mindless, micro choices that accumulated and created little friction with my social life. Now, before I knew it, I was on a plant-based diet. I made small choices, I made mistakes, I learned from them, but I kept progressing on the plant-based spectrum. Maybe consider doing a day in the week or a meal during your week where you eat a plant-based meal. Maybe consider veganizing meals that you already love. Maybe try Meatless Monday or Tofu Thursday. But as you progress and gain confidence, increase the amount of meals that are plant-based. Focus on adding healthier foods to your diet instead of removing the bad ones. Naturally, over time, the healthy foods will end up crowding out the unhealthy ones. And the benefits of eating more plants are dose dependent. And this means that simply having more plants on your plate will improve your health outcomes. You don't have to go 100% plant-based if that's not what you want. But maybe eating 70% of your calories from whole plants will definitely be better than the 10% that people get on a standard diet. Wherever your sweet spot is on the plant-based spectrum, if it's more plants on your plate, you get more benefits. Although I love talking about the basic biochemistry and chemical structure of nutrients, I think it's important to keep it basic and to keep it practical. At the end of the day, it's easy to be convinced when looking at the data that eating more plants is more healthy. But it's the how that people struggle with. And I think the how can be summarized into one simple statement, which is find a way to make plants taste good. If we can figure out quick, easy, convenient recipes that taste good, I think most people would have zero issues with transitioning towards a plant-predominant diet. And if we're doing that, we're making extreme advances for our health and the health of the planet. Right on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for joining me on this plant-based journey of ours. And I hope to see you next time during our next episode. Peace! Yo, plant-based buddies, don't forget to go check out my website, plantbaseddrjules.com. That's where you'll find links to download my free recipe book, my transitioning guide, and my supplement guide for athletes. And there, you'll also find links to future live events, to my YouTube channel, my social media handles, my blog, and even my other podcast episodes. Now, stay on the lookout for my upcoming e-course, where we'll be using video courses to teach you everything from nutrition science to how to cook and create amazing plant-based meals. And the best way of showing some support is by going to Apple Podcast or Spotify, by subscribing and leaving a 5-star review for this podcast. Right on. Thanks so much for tuning in. We'll see you in the next episode. Peace.